Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. Mr. Verman, will you please state your name? Your full name?
Sam Verman.
And your address?
2211 Bishop Boulevard.
All right. And would you just give me your birthday date, your birth date?
June 15, 1905.
Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. This is Tape 2, Side 4. And Mr. Verman, I'm going to ask you a few questions. They will be spelling of names and places that we did not get on the tape before. You mentioned that your father-in-law operated a farm in, is it Soraka? How is it spelled? What?
It's not my father-in-law, my grandfather.
Oh, your grandfather.
Because my father died when I was 3 years old, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. Operated a farm in, how is it spelled? S-O-C-O-C-A?
His name is Abraham Lisnik. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
S-O-R.
Mm-hmm.
All right. O-C-A.
Mm-hmm.
All right. S-O-R-O-C-A. And his name was Abraham. What was his last name?
Lisnik.
L-I. L-I-S. N-I-A-N-N-I-C-F.
Okay.
All right, now, the second question I would like to ask you. All right, it was owned by who? One of the richest Jews. Well, that's Abraham.
Mm-hmm. No. Your grandfather operated this farm, which you said was owned by the richest man in Soroka, right?
Right.
What was that man's name?
That man's name was...
Do you remember?
Petrosov was his second name.
Oh.
First name, I don't remember. I want to make a remark who Petrosov was.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, then he started dreaming about going to Israel, you know,
uh-huh.
And under the auspices of the great writer Bialik, they organized a group of rich Jews in Russia, and they had meetings in Odessa. They created the Rebbe Beit Zvi, the first symptoms of Zionism.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Petrosov was one of the people who participated. He was no scholar, but he was a rich man in a rich family.
Mm.
So he was one of the men who participates in all the activities in there.
Mm-hmm.
So he picked my grandfather, you know,
mm-hmm.
to be the manager of a big farm, which was 60 miles away from our hometown, you know. And my grandfather was the manager, the bookkeeper, the
everything.
Boss, and everything.
So he knew Bialik, your grandfather.
Oh, sure.
And
I knew Bialik. I knew Bialik too.
You knew him as well?
Not as well.
But I mean, you've met him and you talked to him.
Then we were in the Bialik house in Tel Aviv.
Do you have any memories of him that you'd like to tell us?
Not too much, because more I know about Bialik, what I read about him. And I knew some of his poems, what he was writing, you know. But he was much older than I was. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in my young days. I was a member of the Tzir Tzion, you know.
How do you spell that word?
I was just going to ask you that. How is it spelled?
She's the speller.
Zion. Is that a branch of the labor movement?
No. Not
what
yet.
Is Tzir Atzion?
When the Tzir Atzion was organized, it was not labor movement yet officially. Later on, the Tzir Atzion joined the Pearl of Zion, which was the labor group of Zionism.
So they joined
the
labor. Pearl of Zion. Pearl of Zion.
You know, we were in this country already when the Tzira Tzin and the Pearl of Zion
merged
in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And we went there.
Do you remember the year?
Okay.
So, originated in Europe, that group.
Oh, the Tzira Tzin was organized in Europe.
Okay.
But there was some, we had a group of Tzira Tzin in America too.
Mm-hmm.
Then we united with the Pearl of Zion in Philadelphia.
Right. Thank you.
There's another question here. You stated your aunt had been living in Pittsburgh, and she suggested you write to him. What was his name?
I think the aunt had a brother who lived in Pittsburgh, and she suggested, when you were still in Europe, your aunt wrote to your uncle, right? What was his name? The aunt's brother.
My aunt was in Keshinov.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Correct. But what was her brother's name in Pittsburgh?
But see, I came here in 1925. It was normal times.
Correct.
Now, I made an application to go to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a trade. And then our friends, the British, closed up and they wouldn't let nobody in. So my aunt wrote a letter to her brother, which was in Pittsburgh, and he was working in the Westinghouse.
Yes, and what was his name?
Abe.
Abe who?
Abe Lisnick.
Oh. We both say you know. Because his name has come up before.
I thought that was your father's name.
His father's name was Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
But his name was Ober, but he called him in America Abe.
And what was your cousin's name? The cousin that you were with all the time, who had a brother who was a psychiatrist.
The cousin's name was Shepsel Weinberg.
Thank you.
We both left at the same time. And he was a soldier in the Romanian army.
Okay. All right, when you first went on your own, you joined with a friend by the name of Bernie. What was his last name?
Mm-hmm.
Bernie. B-E-R-N.
Your very first partner was Benny Spokane.
Benny.
Could you spell it for us?
Benny
Spokane.
Oh, I've been in partnership. You know, I've been in partnership with Benny Spokane.
I can't understand the writing.
You also mentioned your mother's sister died at the age of 96 last year.
Yes,
what was her name?
Rachel.
Rachel who?
Rachel Greenberg.
Rachel Greenberg. Okay. You talked about the owner of Union Real Estate, your partner in building the shopping malls, A.J. Aberman. How does he spell it?
A-B-E-R-M-A-N.
Okay. What was his first name? A.J. What was his first name? Oh, you just called him A.J.? That's fine. That's all right. It doesn't matter. Okay. Then, the names of your shopping malls. Some of the names of your shopping malls. You told me about Mount Royal. Is that in Shayla?
In Shayla Township.
It's the name of
one, the first one I built
was in
Bonneville Shopping Center in Butler, PA.
Was in Butler. And was the one called Olympia in McKeesport?
McKeesport.
And then was one in
Connell. Let me give it to you now then. The first one I built was in Butler, called Bonneville Shopping Center.
Mm-hmm.
The second one I built, Montreal Shopping Center in Shaler Township.
Mm-hmm. And what was the one called in Connellsville?
Connellsville was by the fourth, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you spell Connellsville? Is that with an L? I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with this.
C-O-double-M.
N-E-L-S-B-I-L-L-E.
Okay. Thank you.
And the last one I built is in what's the name of the other Pines Shopping Center.
Is that near the airport?
Hmm.
Is that near the airport? No.
No.
Where is that?
Wait a minute.
St. Clair?
You know, the Pines Shopping Center is on Route 19 on the way to
McKnight.
I forgot the township.
McKnight.
Ghost Township.
Ghost Township.
Okay. Okay.
Then I built one in Cornersville. No, Cornersville and then the Pines.
Yes, I have that. You also told us a lot about your great friend Sam Kalb.
Yeah.
What was he the owner of? What was the name of his company?
The Penn Overall Company.
Penn? Overall.
Penn Overall.
Overalls.
Yeah, they were cleaning overalls and rented them out. You know, they were headed out to different companies.
When you mentioned Ben Gurion, he came to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Was he at your very first Israeli bond meeting that you held? When did you first meet?
He was the first bond, and we started the bond business in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
When he came here.
Did he come to your first meeting?
Yeah, he was here. Yeah, he came here, and there was a rich man in Pittsburgh, and his name was Charlie Rosenblum.
Right.
And it was in Charlie Rosenblum's basement.
And do you remember when this was?
I couldn't tell you.
About like 30 years ago?
A year or two
after. I couldn't tell exactly the date.
Okay. You also told us when you became a contractor, one of the jobs you had was you used to build fronts for jewelry shops. Do you remember? For Mr. Mayer. Mm. Do you remember his first name?
To build a jewelry store?
Yes. The Mr. Mayer, who owned the jewelry stores. What was his first name?
What's his name?
Myers or Mayer?
S.A. Myers. Jewelry. He had quite a few jewelry stores.
Mm-hmm.
S.A. Myers, and he lived in Washington, P.A.
Would he spell it M-E-I or M-E-Y?
M-Y-E-R-S.
M-E-Y-E-R-S, okay. And then you had a friend, your friend, the architect, Mr. Rosenberg.
Yeah.
What was his first name?
Hyman. You know, he's in Florida right now, and he's pretty sick.
Okay. You also mentioned that one of your first jobs was for a Mr. Shapiro. You built it in Elmwood City, some building.
In Elmwood City.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Wait a minute. This was the first job.
Yes.
It was before the flood. Wait a minute.
Before the flood?
Mm-hmm.
We had a dress shop there. And this... Let me tell you the story, then you will like. This was the first job that I went out with Mr. Goldberg, who was in the glass business.
Mm-hmm.
We both went out there.
Mm-hmm.
We were introduced by somebody there. We come around there, and the man wanted to make a dress shop, you know, make a new front and all. So I took a piece of paper off the wall, you know, and a pencil, and I showed him how his front is going to look. So it was already about 6 o'clock or so. He says, well, right now, he says, we're going out for dinner. He says, I'm going home for dinner. He says, and we'll come back and we'll talk again. So we weren't invited for dinner. So me and Golo went to a restaurant, and we had a meal. Then we came back, and we were discussing there, and we made up a contract, and we signed up.
Mm.
And then we went back to work there. It was the flood in Pittsburgh. And she was home with a little kid, you know, was home alone.
The wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we were working there, and then the radio was down. Joseph Orenstein on downtown was up to the second floor in water.
Oh.
And we had to cross the river to get back home, so we stayed there. Anyhow, this didn't last long. So we started to go home about 10 o'clock at night, one night. And we drove about 10, 12 miles from Melwood City. Out there, there was a place, you know, and I had an old car. My car started knocking, you know.
Uh-uh.
So my partner says, let's open up and see. I says, let's not look. Let's keep on going. So I drove it into Pittsburgh with a broken.
But you got home.
So this friend of yours, Mr. Shapiro, what was his first name? Can you remember?
I don't know. He had a dresser.
Just
Shapiro
that he had a dresser. Okay. All right. And then just one other question. You talked about the president of UMPA.
Yeah.
Mr. Burke. What was his first name?
Walter Burke.
Walt, okay. Thank you very much. Do you want to tell us any more about...
I mean, Walter Burke wasn't the president of the Empire. Walter Burke was the president of
in
the Hebrew Institute. You know, there's a...
Yes.
The downstairs, he donated the downstairs where the shul is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The president, you know, and he was the president of the Hebrew Institute, too, you know. But he was active... And he was the president of Istadrut campaign. He raised money for the Istadrut direct. So he was the president.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam Goldstock was a lawyer, a very active man, was a vice president. And Sam Bainstock was a... Sam Baskin. Baskin Wallpaper Company.
Mm-hmm.
He was a vice president, and Sam Berman was the third one. We were ahead of them, and we raised quite a lot of money, I mean, on them days.
And you were the vice president of that group, of that little group. So you did. What was that group called?
Histadrut.
You called that Histadrut, but you collected for UMPAL. Okay.
And the UMPAL came much later.
I understand now.
The UMPAL came much later.
Thank you. All right. And... just to go back to one other story that you were telling us, you started a story about a famous Rabbi Posner of the yeshiva, but we didn't complete it. You had told us he came
this
to borrow money from you.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you know what happened?
Yes.
You know, I belong to the Zionist, not to the radical group, and I wasn't too active in shul. I was a member of the shul, but I wasn't active.
Oh. If you prefer not, you may leave it.
So Rabbi Posner comes around here, solicits me for money, because he needs money for the city of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a bet house on Fifth Avenue, some for creating a yeshiva. So they were working there, and he got stuck, and he couldn't finish. So he was short the money. So he comes around here, and he says to me, I know, he says, that you're not for yeshivas. I didn't like the remark.
No.
So he started talking to me about the yeshiva. I said, the best I could do for you, I could give you $100. So then I gave my check, $100. So he sits over there and I zifst, you know what zifst means? I says, Rabbi Posner, I didn't tell you nothing, but just listen what I would advise you to do. I'm a member of the Hebrew Freelon. You know, 42 years I am a member of the Hebrew Freelon. I says, you come around to the Hebrew Freelon and ask him to borrow you $5,000 so you'll be able to finish up your building. And then you'll make a opening, you raise some money, you pay it back. He agreed with me. He was never borrowed on money there. So he sits there and I said, you come around Tuesday about 7:30 and look at me and I'll show you who to talk to you. I was just a new man. This was 23 years ago, and I wasn't too active because I was too busy. He comes around there and I showed him on the president of the Giant Eagle. He was a father named Shapiro, a nice fellow. And Shapiro was born in this country and he didn't know a lot of things, you know. But he was
Goldstein.
Goldstein was his name.
No, instead of Shapiro, it was Mr. Goldstein.
I think so. Well, anyhow, he comes around and I showed him, and he goes over to Mr. Goldstein and he start telling the whole story. Goldstein gets busy and he talks to a few more people. He decided we never give a loan more than $300 because it was a small organization. He wants, but from leaving me until he came there, but came from 5,000, 6,000.
Oh.
He came ahead. All right, he came in for 6,000. So we had a meeting for the board, decided to help him out.
Mm-hmm.
So you needed 10 signatures at the $500 or 12, you know. So I had the benefit, and then I had to ride around with him a whole day to get the 10, 12 signatures, and we issued him the bond.
That's wonderful.
Fine. For your information, it's already 22 years, 23 years. He still owes us $500. No. He paid everything, but he keeps on board. He gives him 12 checks, and always he's always showing him. This is not enough. And since then, you know, they became bigger, and they brought in a lot of young teachers, you know, with families. Every one of the teachers are sharing.
That's really something.
This idea we created.
Tell me, you lived in Pittsburgh for a long time. Do you have any interesting stories of the flood that they had in Pittsburgh?
Well, yes, when the flood was in Pittsburgh, I was in Elwood City.
Oh.
Built my stove on there.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked there, and then on the radio they were telling that there was a shortage in carpenters, a shortage, and ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. So we worked at 10, 12 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. and then we started out, me and my partner. I was driving with my Pontiac, and I told you,
mm-hmm.
we soon we reached the Rat area, to the main highway. Start knocking, and then we come in and here. And for your information, we got only one job down at the produce shop. We would be better off without it. This would be out for the flood.
Yeah. But were there any interesting stories that you yourself was involved in as far as, say, the center of Pittsburgh, downtown Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. around the where the department stores were and
well,
so forth?
The only thing I know, we went down there, and I drove Joseph Holm, is the water was up till the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I remember, some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you, I'll tell you what, who mm-hmm. made a big use out of the flood.
Mm-hmm.
This is off record. The man who's a big, no, it's all right. It's in his favor. I mean, he don't need it.
I mean,
but he's well respected. He's one of the best givers in this country. So he was starting giving out a little paper, you know. What's his name?
Joe
Katz.
Oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
And Joe Katz happened to come, you know, about 7 years from my hometown, you know, my mm-hmm. new family, you know. So Joe Katz is not fool. Gets in a little boat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on the river and takes pictures for everything. He takes a train and he goes to Cleveland. He makes up a booklet and shows all the downtown the way it is. He makes himself $6,000. For him and he had three brothers and a father and a mother, they never saw $6,000. All of a sudden, he became rich. This is the way he started, from the flood, and then he went on his own.
Oh, that was clever. Yeah, isn't that interesting?
And then he went into the paper craft business.
Yeah.
And he started getting, so he had a landsman, a boy there, from the same town. So he invaded a little envelope with cards and everything else. So he promoted this when the war started. And he sold it in the millions, and this guy became so rich.
Isn't
now he's
five
guys,
you know. Yeah, that's fascinating.
This is the history of the people, though, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was here in our house one time, Katz here, for 2-3 hours, talking to me about a lot of things when I explained to him.
Mr. Katz you're talking about.
Yeah, Mr. Katz. Now his wife passed away.
I know.
And he doesn't feel so
that
good.
Company is called
Papercraft. Papercraft. Can I ask you, I don't think we have anything about your social life, your family vacations, what you did as a family. Any place in particular that you went to that you think was interesting?
The children, trips.
When you went on trips.
For the children.
Yes.
Oh, we mm-hmm. went around. First thing, a friend of ours, I was at a camp. Camp Kadima. And his name was Sam Osherov.
How do you spell
Solomon.
His name? Sam?
Solomon.
Oh, Solomon.
Solomon Osherov.
How do you spell his name? Last name, do you know?
O-S-H-E-R-O-F.
O-S-H-E-R-O-F.
No, he was a member of the Labor Zionist.
Oh, all right.
This camp? Kadima?
And he used to be Kadima. The campaign manager for the Hishtadrut campaign. Okay. You know, Hishtadrut had a separate campaign, you know.
Of what campaign did you say?
Hishtadrut campaign.
Hishtadrut
is the organized labor union.
Yes. Yeah.
So he was working as a man who collected personal, you know.
Uh-huh. Now, you were saying he had a
camp.
A camp where?
It's on Radeidorf, in Evan City, near Evan City.
Uh-huh. And you went there, you mean, for a vacation?
And all the kids were there, and our kids were there too. And we used to go there every Friday. We were very good friends and stayed there until Sunday and go home Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And there was the first camp we built there.
You made trips for the children.
Huh?
You made trips for the children. You made trips for the children.
Yes, well, he said that they you went away with the children for the weekend. Did you go there for quite a few years?
Yeah, we were there for a long time.
Well, that's nice. What else did you say? What else can you think of that was interesting that you did when your children were still small as far as going away?
You know, my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law were living in Toronto. Mm-hmm. See, I couldn't get a girl in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. So I had to go to Toronto. So I had a big investment. I had a mother-in-law there. And our daughter and the other girl there. So we used to make visits there once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly, you don't have to record it. We were coming back. We were coming back.
It's on.
All right. Don't worry.
It's recorded. It's all recorded.
No, this is all right. But we were coming back from Toronto, you know. And we stopped there in Erie, PA.
Mm-hmm.
Then to eat lunch, our son walks out from the car, and he runs back up and he says, "United States is at war."
Hmm?
Remember?
Yeah.
He heard it in the radio.
Pearl Harbor.
He heard it on the radio.
No, I had the radio, but I don't know. I didn't hear. But he come back and he says, "You know, we are at war."
Mm-hmm.
So we find out, and the United States is at war when we were
in Canada.
In Erie, PA.
Oh, we were in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, tell me about, I know that you were a contractor, but what hobbies did you have in your lifetime that you found?
I didn't have time for hobbies.
Nothing at all?
I mean, I didn't play cards. No, he had a partner, a very wealthy man, and so he used to go out with a mortgage man for lunch in the William Penn Hotel. So he takes me along to, so he gives us a separate room in order to lunch.
Uh-huh.
Then he says to me, "Want to be a partner?" You know, they were playing cards. I says, "Okay." I didn't know that the guy did play, but it is, but I was a partner. And they played a certain time to the minute because they were both busy people.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden he says to me, "We lost. Give me $10.
Okay. That's a nice way of playing cards.
So I give him. So
you learned the hard way, right?
So I paid $10. That time I didn't want to go for lunch. I didn't want to play. This is the only time in my life that I lost $10 in cards and I didn't pay.
That's really funny. Well, then, as far as hobbies, your different organizations that you belong to are your hobbies.
I was a member in the Zionist organization since I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
you know, in particular. I was ready to go to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I learned the trade.
Mm-hmm.
And then our English friends closed up the entrance, so I couldn't come. But when I came to this country, I was right away looking for my friends, for the Sirisin, and I had wonderful friends.
Mm-hmm.
That time, a lot of young people came, you know, educated. Among my people, about 5-6 of them are medical doctors, you know, all had higher education, you know. And I could have, if I would want to be a baker, I could have been a Hebrew teacher, and I would have known just as much as they knew Hebrew. But they couldn't go to college, so they were teaching Hebrew
uh-huh.
and going to college. One was in Washington, and about half a dozen of them. We had a wonderful group of people. You know, that was, I should have seen them united with Poilusheim in Philadelphia in 1932.
Uh-huh.
You not been active since then. Then we got our building over there. You know the building across from the Maxim?
Yes.
This is our building. This is the Labor Zionist building.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that.
That's on Murray Road, is it?
Forbes.
Forbes.
It's on Forbes, yeah, across from the Maxim
apartment. Yeah, on Forbes Avenue.
It's on Forbes Avenue. Tell me something about your neighborhood. You have lived here a long time in this particular house, correct? What could you say about it as far as economic? Economically, would you say, I'm sure it has got to be better as the years went on, but what would you say, what would your opinion be of this neighborhood as far as, say, culturally
and economically?
When we moved
in here, it's 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we move in here? I built myself a house in Lilacs. I designed it myself and I built it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a daughter gone to the high school.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife figured out that she's grown up. She needs company in Lilacs to get to go off the bill. So we sold that house and we bought this one. It wasn't like this. I remodeled. This is entirely different. I remodeled this house and we moved in and here. But the main thing about I moved in and here was my friend Mr. Kelp was living right here.
Oh.
And he was a sick man.
Mm.
And he lived that far away. So I was very close with him.
Mm-hmm.
Very fine man.
But what I'm trying to find out is how the neighborhood has changed within the years.
There's very few old times. I think on this block, I think we are about